From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Coming up, author Brandon Hote talks about his recently published book entitled Going Ape, Florida's Battle for Evolution in the Classroom. We'll discuss Florida's place in an ongoing cultural battle to have creationism and intelligent design taught in public schools. As scrutiny intensifies over the United States surveillance programs, the ACLU is looking at how local police departments across the country are using a little-known cell phone tracking technology. As a result, the ACLU of Florida is suing the Sarasota Police Department over how it's keeping the use of that program secret. That's ahead, but first, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Ashley Lopez. Thanks for joining us. The American Civil Liberties Union wants to know how police, local police departments, are using a cell phone tracking technology called Stingrays. This massive public records project has yielded some insight, but also some stonewalling. Coming up in about half an hour, we will talk to the ACLU about what they found in Southwest Florida and why they're suing the Sarasota Police Department. But first, teaching the Bible and evolution in public schools. Brandon Hote is a former Marine Corps combat correspondent and current public information officer with the Volusia County Sheriff's Office. He's also a founding board member and volunteer communications director for Florida Citizens for Science, a group that describes itself as its work as, quote, rooting out attempts to undermine our state's future, such as the blatant promotion of anti-scientific ideas, intelligent design, and creationism. His interest in this topic has led to a new book published by the University Press of Florida entitled Going Ape, Florida's Battles Over Evolution in the Classroom. His book takes a unique look at the state's long history with this debate. Hote joins us on the phone. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live, Brandon.
Hey, good morning.
And you can join our conversation. Call 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Or you can send an email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. Okay, Brandon, so let's start with something you mentioned in your preface, which is that looking at the evolution versus creationism battle throughout Florida is really effective because the state provides a good sense of how this fight is playing out in the country as a whole. It's like a good barometer. Is this one of the reasons you wrote this book?
Well, of course, I think the main reason is, of course, I live in Florida, which obviously makes it much easier to research what happens right here in this state rather than in all the other states where this has happened. And this is, as you said, nationwide. We've seen this pop up in Ohio and in Kansas and California, Pennsylvania, you name it. There's been some controversy over this teaching of evolution in public schools. But here in Florida, it's been very consistent. It started in the 1920s and continues up into the present day. My book actually flows seamlessly into events that are happening practically right now.
And, you know, I like that this book further proves one of my theories, which is that everything has a Florida connection. I don't know if it's common knowledge that the father of this, like, creationism fight, William Jennings Bryan, actually started his crusade here in Florida during what is, like, kind of an active retirement. Can you talk about that?
Certainly. Of course, he had run for president a few times, and at one point his wife was in ill health. And a doctor suggested that they vacation in Florida for the good weather that would help her health. And so they did so, and after coming here a few times, fell in love with the state. And when William Jennings Bryan retired, he retired to Florida and eventually made it his legal residence. And he was familiar with this controversy over evolution, but he didn't really get involved in it for several years until in the early 1920s, while he's here in Florida. He gives lots of Bible school classes that hosted thousands of people who came to listen to him talk in person. And when he would be finished with those talks, he'd have very concerned parents come up to him and say, you know, we're sending our children to school, we're sending them off to college, and they're coming home having lost faith in the Bible. Why is that? And they were pleading to him for an answer to that. And once he heard these pleas, he started investigating on his own, doing a lot of reading and talking to people. And he finally settled upon the idea that evolution is being taught in these institutes of higher learning, and that was a threat to people's faith in the Bible.
Yeah, and this,
because it was in direct opposition to what the Bible says in his mind.
Sure. And this concern over what's in textbooks also seems to be rooted in the struggle between state and local governments and what were like almost autonomous rural communities around World War I. After the war, how did a push toward education reform open up a lot of this resentment that led to a closer scrutiny of what's in textbooks and things of that nature?
Well, as you said, there's a lot of folks who didn't attend high schools, which back then was kind of a higher learning. They went up to a certain grade level and then kind of stopped. And also these schools were managed entirely on the local basis. There was no state oversight many years ago. And then as we started getting into the 1920s, education started becoming compulsory in attendance. And then once that started happening, then there started to become districts and started to become state control over the schools. And that really got under the skin of people in rural areas who felt that that was an overreach and that it was really starting to affect their very close-knit families there in their hometowns where the schools were. Now, as this was going on, there were textbooks. Those textbooks did have evolution in them, but because for many years, you know, school attendance was not compulsory, a lot of people didn't see these textbooks. But then, as students had to attend schools, as the states started mandating that these particular textbooks will go into these schools, you know, people start seeing that evolution's in these textbooks, and they start protesting against that.
And in the mid-1920s, which is fairly early in this fight, it seems like this battle was taken to the Florida legislature. And while Brian William Jennings Bryan was still alive, he managed to help pass a largely ignored resolution that years later the Florida House and then later the Florida House tried to pass a bill with a little more teeth. Can you talk to me about what this fight in Tallahassee was like through the years?
Oh, it has been absolutely insane. Just want to give you an example, a very brief quote here from one of the bills that was filed in the Florida legislature about this subject. It is the sense of the legislature of the state of Florida that it is improper and subversive to the best interest of the people of the state for any professor, teacher, or instructor in the public schools and colleges of the state, supported in whole or in part by public taxation, to teach or permit to be taught atheism, agnosticism, Darwinism, or any other hypothesis that links man and blood relation to any other form of life. Now, that bill was proposed in the mid-1920s, and it raised such a big fuss. It so polarized the legislators in the House that it actually shut down the House of Representatives. It shut it down because they refused to work on any other bill. They were constantly filibustering until they can try one side or the other could find a way to win over this, either to get rid of the bill or to approve it. And it got to the midnight on the day that this was just absolutely exploded on the House floor, and got to midnight, and the Speaker of the House was pounding his gavel, saying, okay, I'm clearing a chamber, and they wouldn't even listen to him. Someone else went up there on the podium and took over the podium and says, no, we're going to keep on going until we get this thing done. I mean, it actually shut down the House of Representatives. Finally, they did, in the House, approve a version of that bill I read to you. But then, amazingly, once that was passed across to the Senate wouldn't even touch it. So they turned their nose up on it and never even gave it a hearing.
And I think that's interesting, that passage that you read. So lawmakers, some of them anyways, were equating evolution to atheism and agnosticism, in short?
Oh, absolutely. That's how this all starts. We have... for instance, the Southern Baptist Convention met in Jacksonville in the early 1920s, and one of the biggest things that they were looking at was what was in the textbooks. And they passed the resolution, the Southern Baptist Convention, saying that we want science textbooks to be, quote, free from erroneous statements on evolution, because they just simply did not believe in it. And so this controversy over the years certainly has its roots very firmly in religion, absolutely.
We're speaking with Brandon Hoad, author of a new book about Florida's history with evolution in the classroom. Call 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK, or comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, or send an email to golfcoastlive@wgcu.org. And until the 1960s or so, evolution was largely out of textbooks in Florida. What role did the Cold War play in bringing this up again? And of course, the backlash that happened simultaneously with that change.
Oh, absolutely. As we had already been talking about, 1920s was a huge, huge controversy that finally died down in the 30s and 40s because there's been so much success in getting evolution out of the schools and the textbooks. It was barely ever mentioned. And then, as you said, as we got into the late 1950s and into the 1960s, there was that Cold War. There was that standoff with the Soviet Union over who had scientific superiority. And America got a big slap across the face when Sputnik was that first device launched into orbit around the Earth. And that really, really got the United States' attention, and they started pouring all sorts of funding and attention into public education. Now, as it turns out, it still holds true today, that biology is one of the few science courses that every single high school student takes. They might take physics or chemistry, you know, depending on which state you're in or what district you're in, but almost everywhere biology is mandated. And so that tends to be one of the only significant exposure that students have to science. And so in the 1960s, as they're really making a push to strengthen science education, biology was a huge area of concentration where they really wanted to get some really good textbooks and really good instruction that didn't rely just on rote memorization or anything like that. And so all of a sudden, evolution was back in the textbooks and back in the classroom. And as soon as that happened, I mean, before these textbooks were even officially adopted here in Florida, they were being used on a test basis, and already you had parents coming forward protesting against it.
And from reading this book, I get the sense that a lot of this happens in cycles, right? Like the anti-creationism or anti-evolution movement seems to fizzle out and then heat up a couple of times. Is there a pattern here in terms of what's driving that cycle?
Well, it's kind of ironic in that creationism evolves. You start back in the 1920s where it's blatantly religious. You know, we don't want anything that contradicts what's in the Bible. But then as time went on and these kind of cases went up to the Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court level, and these efforts started getting shut down at that level, then creationists had to regroup. And they'd think, okay, well, we can't do this, so let's try this. We'll call it scientific creationism. We have so-called scientific evidence that supports our ideas of a great flood and so on. And they want to mandate the teaching of that alongside evolution. Well, once again, there goes the cycle. It goes back into the U.S. Supreme Court, gets shut down. They have to go start again and come up with a new idea. You know, for instance, intelligent design that you had mentioned, where they try to scrub all references to religion from that instruction. But it just keeps on failing. So they keep on changing, evolving over time in their efforts and how they approach the teaching of evolution in schools.
And even though at the beginning of the book, the anti-evolution movement fought its fights at the state level, the rest of the book seems to be largely about local fights, like individual school districts and counties. Why is that?
Well, because, of course, that is what local control is all about. We still see that a lot today. You see that controversy over the adoption of the Common Core curriculum for math and language arts, and there's all sorts of protests against that, saying that it's, you know, government overreach, that we need local control of our schools. And that's been a constant theme for many decades. That's nothing new. And so, yes, we did have many school districts, you know, take different approaches to this. Hillsborough County, actually, the school board there approved the teaching of creationism alongside evolution in the 70s and 80s. They came real close. They came within a whisker of having it actually get into the classroom. They approved it. They actually created a curriculum that addressed it, and they were within months of putting it into the classroom when that was shut down, once again, by a United States Supreme Court decision that directly influenced the work they were doing at that time. And this, as you said, goes up and down all branches of the government. It happens right in the individual classroom. We've had teachers get in trouble for teaching creationism in the classroom, and it goes all the way up to the governor's office. We've had a number of times where Governor Graham and Governor Martinez have confronted this issue, either during an election or just during their tenure.
And can you talk about the role of the California-based Institute for Creation Research in advocating for creationism in Florida schools?
There are a number of national organizations that make a real strong effort to help all the local school districts, all the local states, in trying to find some way to counter the teaching of evolution in schools. And so you do have these organizations, the Discovery Institute is one, it's in Washington, and various creationist organizations, where they tried to put together kind of a brain trust, and you know, kind of come up with these ideas for how they can do it. Now, once again, Hillsborough County, when they were creating that curriculum, they brought in members of these national organizations to help create this curriculum. And so, you know, they had their fingers in many, many pies all across the country, including here in Florida.
And while scientific creationism was being fought for in county school boards, there was a host of groups that were fighting against this, such as the League of Women Voters and the ACLU. What were their positions and roles in this movement?
It typically involves very, very simple, the separation of church and state. You know, teaching some form of religion in a science classroom is inappropriate. Now, you can, of course, teach some type of comparative religion class or teach the Bible as history. Those are difficult courses to navigate, but nonetheless still are legal and can be done. But when you take and try and insert religion, claiming that it has some type of scientific basis, and you put it into the science classroom, that is blatantly against the church, the separation of church and state. And that's mainly what ACLU and the League of Women Voters focused on. There are other organizations. You mentioned at the very beginning one organization that I'm a member of, Florida Citizens for Science. You know, these are grassroots organizations made up of just, as the title says, concerned citizens who really want to fight for good, strong science education in whatever states that they formed in. My organization has been around since 2005, and we've been instrumental in many fights here since then. In 2008, we had a huge, huge controversy over evolution being in the brand new state science standards that were adopted by the Board of Education back then. And as soon as they were finally adopted and we wiped our brows and said, oh, finally, you know, we succeeded, we're done, we're good to go, 1 week later, bills were filed in the state legislature and we were right back at it for 3 more months.
Yeah. And what role did the evolution fight play in elections? I guess starting in around the late 80s, it seems like both the gubernatorial elections as well as some local elections were embroiled in all of this.
Oh, absolutely. You see it come up all the time in school board elections. Most of the time it's just a minor issue. It's something that you know, gets a couple of headlines in the newspapers but doesn't have a huge effect on the race. But there have been governors who have been burned by this. I know Governor Martinez was running for re-election, and it came up in that particular race. I'm drawing a blank here. Who he was running against?
Oh, Childs. Lawton Childs.
Exactly. And yeah. What they did was that it was really a tight race. They're running neck and neck. When all of a sudden reporters asked Martinez his opinions on the subject. And he says, well, you know what, I kind of think that some type of scientific creationism belongs in the classroom alongside evolution. And so that wasn't new news. Reporters already knew that from a year or two previous. But then they went to his opponents, and they said, you know what, Martinez said this. What do you think? And Child's running mate, I think it was McKay, just blatantly said, you know what, some people believe in a flat earth, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it was a very flippant, off-the-cuff comment. He went on to say that, yeah, he believes a lot like what Martinez does. Yeah, maybe it should be in the classroom, but that is a decision for the local level, not for state government. That's a local level decision. Nonetheless, despite all this explanation, that quote about being the flat earth got huge play and suddenly ignited that governor's race as it got to the finish line. Now, Charles Mattei eventually won, but not before it got really dirty. A lot of very nasty quotes and radio ads were played.
You know, I think it's interesting how the pro-evolution group started to learn and become as organized as the creationists. In a way, they sort of mimicked a lot of their strategies. For example, you know, the creation of the National Center for Science Education. Do you see that as holding true?
I believe that these organizations are formed out of necessity and in the defensive mode. I know that's what we in Florida Citizens for Science wind up. That's kind of the role that we have taken on. We don't necessarily go out there and try and push our agenda or ideas on anybody. But then as soon as it comes up where you know, those who are supporting creationism, they rise up, they try to impose their views, and that's when we come to the defense. They try to counter their arguments. Now, just before we go any further, I just want to make absolutely clear here that, of course, I and my organization, we have our very firm opinions on the subject. But my book, Going Ape, is completely, totally neutral. I want, when the person closes the book upon finished reading it, that they think, I have no idea what the author thought about this.
Yeah.
Because it's a fascinating story. I mean, it really, really is. It's about the people and just how passionate they have been over the years and pushing their beliefs. But I tell it in a very journalistic style and a very, you know, I don't take sides. I just let everyone speak for themselves.
Yeah, I got that sense. And, you know, to share your thoughts on the conversation about the state's ongoing battle over the place of evolution in the classroom, I urge our listeners to call 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. And, you know, you wrote a really interesting chapter about something that happened here in Lee County in the late 90s. In short, Lee County became the first school in Florida to have elective Bible classes. Can you talk more about that and what happened with those classes?
Oh, that was such a huge controversy. It actually was some type of, I think it was an organization out of North Carolina who proposed Bible courses all across the country. Say, hey, we have this curriculum. It is ironclad. There's nothing legally wrong with it. You can teach this in your classes. And so they got some type of local representative to kind of make that pitch to the school board. And the school board kind of liked it. They liked the idea. And so they went ahead with it, but then they decided to take off in their own direction. Rather than use this curriculum from out of state, you know, it was kind of a foreign thing, I guess. I don't know quite what the reasoning was. But they elected to instead create their own curriculum for these Bible courses. There'd be two of them, one for Old Testament, one for New Testament. But as they're creating these curriculums, it became very clear that there was a strong Christian bias to it, that they're, you know, kind of preaching in the classroom rather than just teaching things very, you know, straight and narrow and toeing the line. Now, of course, this didn't make it into the classroom yet, so we're still talking at about the forming of the curriculum. And even at that stage, they still saw that, no, this is not right. And so they met a lot of legal challenges as soon as they actually approved their curriculum, but before it still got into the classroom, organizations sued to stop the classes from being taught. There was despite all this controversy among the adults, there were relatively few students who had any interest in taking the courses, which I thought was really, really quite funny.
And jumping ahead to more recent years, you know, tell us about Republican State Representative Dennis Baxley's effort to get evolution out of the classroom.
Well, he concentrated on the college level, in which he wanted what he called academic freedom for the students. He felt that you couldn't say anything bad based on a person's race or their sex or anything like that. But you know what? Those with a very strong conservative bent are constantly being ridiculed by the liberal professors. That was essentially his thought process. And so he wanted to pass a bill that would allow students to stand up for themselves without facing any type of punishment, whether it be by grades or just treatment by a professor. And one of the core focuses was his own experience back in his college days of being told that, you know, evolution is, you know, true and factual and doggone it, you're going to learn this and I don't want to hear any other creationism stuff. That's the way he kind of put it, that the professor told him. And so he said, I just put my head down and just kind of spit back where they wanted me to and got the heck out of there. And he doesn't want anyone to face that ever again like he did. And so that's what he was trying to do with this bill, is allow students to feel more comfortable in the classroom. But the bill met a very hostile response And never actually did get passed.
Yeah. And following years of bad ratings for the veracity of Florida science education in its schools, the State Board of Education effectively watered down its science standards. Can you talk about Option B and the ramifications of that decision?
This was in, of course, 2007 and 2008. Our science standards were initially created back in the late 1990s. And so it was just on a regular cycle. All of the standards for all the academic subjects were being reviewed and revised. And so when it came time for the science standards to be reviewed and revised, it attracted an absolutely outrageous amount of attention. And no one paid quite as much attention to the math standards or the language arts standards. But, man, when science standards came up, all of a sudden everyone snapped their focus on it. And what happened was that evolution was prominent throughout the life sciences. It was one of the what's called main big ideas that all students are expected to know all throughout 12 years of school. And so that was put before the Board of Education. But there's a lot of fear that the Board of Education would not approve the standards as is because there is such a huge public response to it. It's a huge, huge controversy that swept all across the state. It even involved Governor Bush and pulled together all these people. Governor Bush had gone out of the office by then, but he was still involved as the science standards were starting to be revised back during his tenure. Nonetheless, the standards were put before the board, and then the Department of Education, out of fear that the standards would just be thrown out the window, said, we'll give you what's called Option B. We'll put a couple of simple words before evolution throughout this document, theory of, scientific theory of evolution. Instead of just saying evolution, it says scientific theory of. And they put that before the board and said, here's another option for you that makes you more comfortable. There was a whole bunch of controversy over that during the Board of Education meetings. That's when it was presented to them. They didn't have any advance warning that this was coming. But nonetheless, it finally was approved, that Option B was finally approved, and we had a new set of science standards.
And, you know, I want you to walk through what got you interested in this subject and writing this book, which is the Rhonda Storms and Alan Hayes bills in 2008. I think they passed both chambers but died in conference. Talk to me, give us some context for that fight and what happened.
Well, this came 1 week, literally 1 week after the Board of Education meeting in which they approved the science standards. A bill appeared before the state Senate, filed by Senator Rhonda Storms, and then that was followed by a companion bill filed in the House, filed by Representative Hayes. It started off as those bills were identical, in which they wanted to allow teachers to be able to bring other ideas into this classroom, other theories, as they call them. But the problem was that they never could, you know, the sponsors of this bill never, ever could quite detail what was meant by other theories. What other ideas are you talking about? Because we already knew you couldn't put scientific creationism into the classroom. We already knew you couldn't put intelligent design in the classroom. Those are blatantly religious ideas. So what are you proposing, Mr. Hayes and Ms. Storms? What are you proposing? And they never once actually outlined what they had in mind. Now, at some point, Representative Hayes changed his bill completely in a completely new and different version, much more simplified. He claimed that it made, you know, a stronger against any type of legal challenge later on down the road. Nonetheless, that was their failed downfall. Both bills passed both their respective chambers, very strong votes for them. But then, as you said, once they got down to the very end where they're trying to reconcile these two bills so they can get it to the governor, it just failed. It just fizzled out, and they never could reconcile those two. Now, why that happens, we still don't know. Don't know if there's some type of closed-door sessions that led to this. But once again, we wiped our brows, and we barely got away with that one.
And my last question. You wrote that this is an unfinished book in a way. To paraphrase, there's currently no end in sight here. Quickly, why do you think that is?
Well, because we still have the folks who were instrumental in the 2008 fight are still around today, and we still have many organizations that are interested in this. There's an organization called World Changers of Florida. They were the ones who successfully sued to have Bibles distributed on school campuses in Orange and Collier counties. Now, once they succeeded in those things, reporters asked the president of that organization, Jerry Rutherford, "Well, what else do you have in mind? You won this battle. You got Bibles into the classrooms. I mean, into the schools. What are you going to do next?" And he says that he'd like to see schools incorporate Bible verses and religious teachings in schools, as well as offering creationism as a competing theory to evolution. I emphasize that they won. They won in their battle to have Bibles distributed on school campuses. And now we learn that creationism is another one of their goals. And that's happening right now. You can go to their website and go to their objectives page, and you'll see that as the top item on their bullet list. So this is going to keep on going. It's never going to stop.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Brandon. That was great.
Thank you very much.
Brandon Hoad is the author of a new book published by the University Press of Florida entitled Going Ape, Florida's Battles Over Evolution in the Classroom. We're taking a short break, but when we return, we'll take a look at a massive public records request project launched by the ACLU seeking information about how local police departments are using a little-known cell phone tracking program. That conversation's just ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.